Welcome to The Commentaries, a podcast series from TAN in which you'll learn how to read and understand history's greatest Catholic works from today's greatest Catholic scholars. In every series of The Commentaries, your expert host will be your personal guide to not just read the book, but to live the book, shining the light of its eternal truths into our modern darkness. Visit tancommentaries.com to get your copy of the book and to subscribe for access to all the great reading plans, new episodes, bonus content, and exclusive deals for listeners of The Commentaries.
Hello, and welcome back. I'm Father Edward Looney. I'm a priest of the Diocese of Green Bay. I'm a pastor, author, podcaster, Marian theologian, and at present, the president of the Mariological Society of America. This is the Commentaries series on The Glories of Mary by St. Alphonsus Liguori. Today is day number 9, and we will be covering part 1, chapter 8, of the TAN edition of the book, covering the words of the Salve Regina, and after this our exile, show unto us the blessed fruit of thy womb, Jesus. But before we dive into the text, let's pray the Hail Mary together. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, yesterday we spoke about the power of the Hail Mary, praying that prayer for the hour of our death, the great graces that Mary obtains from God for us at the hour of our death as well. Great devotion to the rosary that we have and that we share, and what it means and the promises that Our Lady made to one of her saints. And we pray that those promises are true and that what they promise we will receive because of our dedication and because of our devotion. Now, this section that we're treating today, Chapter 8 of Part 1, has three parts. Mary delivers her clients from hell. Mary succors her clients in purgatory. She helps them. Mary leads her servants to heaven. Those are very powerful subjects for us to be considering. After this, our exile. This reflection, really, that St. Alphonsus Liguori gives just reminds us that, well, we're separated from God in this life. Well, God gives us himself, yes, in Holy Communion, lots of different ways, but that this isn't our home. Something greater awaits us. After this, our exile, show unto us, O blessed fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Show us, O Mary, your son, Jesus, when we die. And so I thought there were a few beautiful sentiments. One of them saying that, you know, Mary's intercession is necessary for all of us. But something else has to be done on our part. We can't just rely on the prayers of Our Lady. Yes, her prayers probably are enough. But there needs to be something on our part that we as sinners, relying on Mary's prayers, we need to do our part. And that's our purpose of amendment. That Mary, who's praying for us sinners, wants us to leave these sins behind and to follow God and to choose his ways and to be more faithful to him. Another thought from the Glories of Mary. The Mother of God obtains extra time for someone to convert from mortal sins. So think about that. Maybe God says, this is this person's hour. And Mary, saying, no, no, give them a little more time. They have mortal sin. Let them convert. Let me, by my prayers, win their hearts over. And so Mary can obtain that from her son, for those who are devoted to her, and for all the children of God. Another sentiment from the glories of Mary that I just sat with. It would be a folly to live in sin with the expectation of what Mary could do. The folly would be persisting in sin, thinking, oh, Mary is praying for me. Well, if Mary is praying for me, she wants me to cut that sin out of my life. She wants me to turn to her son, to live his commandments. We read in chapter 8, Mary delivers her clients from hell. So that's Mary maybe obtaining the grace of final conversion. Mary succors her clients in purgatory. This is something that I've seen often in images in religious holy artwork. Our Lady of Mount Carmel in particular. Mary delivering her devoted servants, bringing them from purgatory into heaven. So that's something I've seen. So I've thought about that before. But what St. Alphonsus Liguori offers us in the glories of Mary and how Mary succors her clients in purgatory, how she helps them, it's amazing. That Mary brings relief, that Mary brings hope for them. We have the witness of the saints like St. Bridget and St. Vincent Ferrer. And then we hear so many other aspects of Mary and purgatory. Maybe things we've heard, but just kind of reiterating them for us, reminding us of these realities. And again, we hold fast to them being true. That Mary relieves and delivers by her prayers souls in purgatory. The souls in purgatory need our prayers. And they also have the prayers of Our Lady, who wants to relieve and deliver them. As we think about the Assumption of Our Lady, well, purgatory existed then. Mary does not need purgatory. But all the souls there that Mary, after her Assumption, able to bring into eternal life. Now, there are some of the saints that have said that the Assumption feast day of Our Lady, that the Nativity or Christmas, and that Easter are the most powerful days to relieve souls from purgatory. Someone I know is a great promoter of the souls in purgatory and devotion to praying for them. Around Christmas time, she always says, bring the souls home. But we think about our own family members, our own friends, too. You know, we had that episode a few days ago about the absence of Marian devotion in the life of a Catholic. And just think about all the souls in purgatory who have no one to pray for them because no one in their family believes in purgatory. And they all believe they're in heaven already. And consequently, then, what does that mean except that they're detained there in purgatory for a lot longer time of purification? Maybe in our prayer, we should ask Our Lady to deliver all of our family members, our relatives, our friends from purgatory. Would be a fitting prayer, I think. Also, in the tradition, the saints have said that Saturdays are days that souls are brought into eternity. I think that's kind of associated with like this idea of a Sabbatine privilege, Saturday, that with the scapular and such. Now, the Sabbatine privilege has been kind of rescinded, revoked, or misunderstood throughout time. But it's here in the glories of Mary that Saturday, a day of deliverance, and maybe as we keep company with Our Lady on Saturdays, on that day that she waited at the tomb of her son, in the day of the in-between, the death and the resurrection, that there she is interceding for those in-between earth and heaven. There was a recommendation of abstaining from meat on Wednesdays for the sake of the holy souls, to offer a rosary for the holy souls. Again, another pious recommendation. I would just encourage you to think about, well, how am I praying for the poor souls in my life? How do I have devotion to them or for them? They can't pray for themselves, but they are aided by us. We have our masses said for them. Maybe light a candle for them. Every time you pass by a cemetery, Catholic or not, say a prayer for the holy souls in purgatory, that Mary will lead them to heaven. We have to realize that many saints are in heaven today because of the prayers of Our Lady. St. Alphonsus Liguori recounted that one saint asked for the conversion of 1,000 sinners. And why for their conversion? So that they could have everlasting life in heaven. The rosary, pray it for the assurance of your salvation. We are in our exile, but Mary, she's already in the homeland. That's why the Assumption is so beautiful, and we'll talk about the Assumption in greater lengths later on in this series, but where Mary has gone, we hope to go. That Mary, as the preeminent member of the church, what God has done for her, God is going to do for all of us at the end of time, bringing us in the final resurrection of the body, raising us from the grave as Mary was raised from the grave. Mary, we need her prayers. When it comes to purgatory, I know some people, and you know, we say things jokingly, but with every joke, there's some sort of truthfulness, isn't there? That they say, oh, I'm just aiming for purgatory. No, no. Aim for heaven, because if you're aiming for purgatory and miss, you're not going to want what would await you. You will hope that you will be one that Mary will deliver from the fires of hell, that the very last moment she swoops in and attains salvation and heaven for you. We really need Mary's prayers, especially for the end of our life. We need her prayers now that we might remain faithful in small things right now, so that we might be faithful in big things, that we might be faithful till the very end. Ask Our Lady to obtain for you the grace of perseverance and faith, and a greater love and devotion for her Son, Jesus. This brings us to the end of today's reflection on day number 9, as we reflected on Mary's relationship to the souls in purgatory. I hope that you'll join us again tomorrow as we talk about the glorious name of Mary, focusing on chapter 9 and chapter 10, featuring the words, O Clement, O Pious, in chapter 9, O Sweet Virgin Mary, in chapter 10. I hope you'll join me again tomorrow. Until then, may God bless you, and Mary pray for you now and at the hour of your death. Amen.
This has been an episode of The Commentaries, a podcast brought to you by TAN. To follow the show, study more of the greatest Catholic classics, and to support The Commentaries and other great free content from TAN, visit tancommentaries.com to subscribe and use coupon code COM25 to get 25% off your next order, including The Glories of Mary and countless more spiritual works to deepen your interior life and guide you to heaven.